Dueling Genre.
Hello, welcome back to Rocky Minute, the daily podcast where we go back to the docks where we belong, one bum at a time. I am Jason.
And I'm Doug.
And joining us today, this is unusual to have a new guest on the middle of the week, but joining us today on this Thursday is Paul Sully Sullivan.
It's me.
Nice How to have you back again.
Yeah, it's fun. I was here for the pet shop. Mm-hmm. In Rocky, the original Rocky, so I had a lot of fun with that. With
and Gloria. Here we are again in a pet shop.
Yeah,
you get me right back into the damn pet shop.
We're gonna call you Paul Pet Shop Sullivan from now on.
Well, right? I also had the docs with. Remember what was the name of the dude? Oh God,
Bob. It was Bob. Yeah,
Bob. That's right.
Yeah.
Whose thumbs he was gonna break?
You were one of our inaugural guests.
Yeah.
Well, for this whole project, yeah.
I'm glad I made it back to the sequel, much like Gloria.
Yeah. Doug wrote in the notes here, you have, in quotes, and it gets a nickname, Sully. Were you Sully before or after the guy who landed the plane in the Hudson and saved all the people?
I've been Sully so long before him, and it pisses me off that the Sully that if you, like, Google Sully – he comes up first. Like,
well,
he
did do, you know, something, you know, quite miraculous.
True.
If that doesn't get your first billing on the Sullys on Google, I don't know what you got
to
do.
Here's my resentment to it, though. Here's my resentment. He's not a Sullivan.
Right. He's a
Sullenberger.
Sullenberger, right.
So, like, everyone with the name Sullivan gets called Sully. I mean, my sons, I know it's bound to happen for my son as well. And so when there's a Sully who he has the belt as King Sully, and he's not even part of the tribe. He's not even a Sullivan.
That's rough.
And so there's part of me is like, look, he did a great thing with the plane, and then Tom Hanks did a fine job landing it, you know, in the movie, but. You know, it's like the other. It doesn't make me as mad though as Monsters Inc.
I was just gonna say you're my third favorite Sully. There's the guy who landed the plane, then there's the monster from Monsters Inc. And now then you.
Here's the thing that makes me mad about.
He's not a Sullivan either.
No, he's a Sullivan. He's a Sullivan in Monsters Inc. But they spell his name Sully. Now I know approximately 800,000 Sullys. 400,000 of them were in my class in Massachusetts, and none of us. I am a proud Sully. The name of my podcast is Sully Baseball. Nice little plug there for everyone. And nobody spells it E-Y. It's S-U-L-L-Y. And the fact that there's probably the second most famous Sully after someone who's not even a Sullivan is a Disney creation where they threw an EY in it. It's like, really? There's not one Irish dude in Disney, in the animation or at Pixar, to say, you know, hey, you know what? I don't think that's how you spell Sully.
Would you say that they have sullied the name?
Oh, my God. You know what? That's it. I'm out. Bye. You have to find a new guest. I'm out. I am O-W-T out. If they can misspell Sully, I can misspell out.
Sorry, dad jokes are my specialty.
Nice. No. I love a good dumb joke. So that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, you're listening here for the right show.
I know. That's why I subscribe to you guys.
So anyway, today we're knocking out minute 74, which begins with Paulie having no idea what to do in a crisis and ends with Rocky and Paulie sitting in some hospital chairs. I added hospital there.
Yeah,
I've gone off the rails.
Went off book.
Yeah, it's funny that everything. The very first shot of the clip that you gave me was the pet shop. I was in the pet shop the last time with Gloria, and then you sent me one, and it's Adrian going into labor, and Paulie not knowing what the hell to do.
Right, having no idea.
She's better off having that parrot help her.
not only not knowing what to do, but just completely panicking. Mm-hmm. Like his the high pitched voice. What's wrong? Like really, just has no idea what to
what's
do.
What's wrong? Here. You can't figure it out, Paulie. You really can't figure it out.
he had no idea what to do. That even last minute when she started to grab her belly, she went to lean into him, and he like moved away. He leaned his shoulder back. Like, why? What's this?
You're gonna
physical?
Make a wonderful uncle.
Why are you trying to press your body against mine? I don't understand hugs.
You know what? There's something about this shot. I know most of this shot is gonna be most of this minute that you sent me is with Mickey in the hallway. Mm-hmm. There's something about this shot here in the pet store that goes to something that I feel. I'm here for a couple of minutes, and I have some definite thoughts on Rocky II as a whole, as a whole in the movie. But one thing that is even this very shot strikes me, even as I have it paused, is that there's a certain grittiness of the original Rocky that gave it a sense of realism. That everything in this film is just slightly cleaned up. Mm-hmm. It's a little tidier. When you saw those scenes in the pet shop in the first film where Gloria was basically cock blocking Rocky when he was telling the jokes shell shocked and because the horns don't work.
What a great scene.
It's an amazing scene, and it's so romantic because he's so just, loves her. But one of the things in that scene is you could practically smell the cat litter. Yeah. You could smell the stinky dogs. You could tell that, like, me with my allergies, I started reacting just watching it. You know, because right. Like the dander from 1976 made it into my head. That my head would explode like scanners if I walked into that place in real life. And you look at this scene here, and it's the same pet shop, and Gloria's still there, but it just looks a little cleaned up,
too organized.
It doesn't quite have that gritty realism that the original Rocky had. And I'm going to get back to that a couple of times where my thoughts of Rocky II land. Before anyone panics, I like Rocky II. Mm-hmm. I don't dislike Rocky II. This is not Rocky V, okay? Mm-hmm. I do like Rocky II. But I watched Rockies 1, 2, 3, and 4 with my kids. And they were 10, 11 years old when I showed it to them. And they loved the original Rocky. And they wound up liking all of them, which is great, which means I'm doing a good job as a dad.
Yeah, there you go.
But watching Rockies 1 through 4 over a period of about 2 weeks, a bunch of films that came out in a 9-year span, and I watched them in the span of a couple of weeks, it was a little eye-opening, and some things about Rocky II sort of stood out. But I'll get to some of those a little more specifically, but this shot just... It is the pet store. It's just someone brought some Bounty and Fantastic. They cleaned up a little bit.
Right, right. It's a little too organized, it seems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like anarchy in the original. Like, there was probably bird crap everywhere. And and probably stunk.
It looked like there wasn't any room to walk. There was a giant dog cage with Butkus in it.
And Butkus was way too big to be in that cage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I don't mean to derail the entire
that's
just 1 minute, but it's a preview of Sully Attractions here. So.
Well, if anybody listened to us last year, they'll know what you bring to the table. So I would not worry about it.
All right, cool. Well, because we're getting to she sits down and then about 4 seconds into this, Mickey walks in and he's gruff.
Mm-hmm. He's he looks like with that zipper up sweatshirt with no shirt on underneath. he looks like he just first of all, we pointed out how sweaty and greasy he looks.
Yes.
And that just, having a sweatshirt with no shirt underneath it would, I don't know, just add to the sweat and the holding in of the grease.
I thought he had a shirt underneath. I thought it was maybe he doesn't. No. It was like a pink shirt.
Not there.
No.
He's wearing a skin-colored shirt there.
that's all Mickey.
Mickey, you're so fine.
We have Rocky, who after his training has already showered and he's at his locker. Mm-hmm. So,
is there a gong? What the hell was that? Did you hear something?
Oh, Jay hit his mic stand.
Is that the noise it makes?
I thought maybe someone gonged.
Every time?
Like Chuck Barris was there.
No, you got to hit it pretty good. Like these springs here?
That's... Okay, all right, go ahead.
So Mickey asks him, where are your guts? So Mickey's finally had enough. He was kind of babying him through his training. Even though Rocky didn't have it, he was still kind of pushing him and
yeah,
you know, telling him he's scary, he's a greasy, fast Italian tank when he wasn't doing crap. But he asked Rocky, where's his guts? And Rocky's had it too. Yeah, he says, what's your problem? You got a problem, kid. You got a ticker problem. As he touches his bare chest.
And he gives him that great look he gives him before he puts that jacket on. No one could give Mickey a F-U look quite like Stallone does.
Is that right after Mickey says he's training like a bum, right?
Yeah.
Damn bum.
Yeah. And now, this is...
He
misses
the word real, good.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying this is one of the really... besides the chicken scene, which is Burgess Meredith's highlight of the film, is that, I mean, to me, when you think of him in this film, you know, bringing the chicken out in the training that's the Mickey highlight of this movie. But you get the sense that when Stallone was writing the script and everything, that he realized he needed to give Mickey another beat at one point because he had so many great beats in. You know, in Rocky, you know, like, you ever think about quitting? You should, you know.
Yeah.
And, but also the one of the best scenes in the movie, in the original Rocky, of course, is the, you know, you need a manager and, you know, Rocky won't talk to him. And then he starts screaming, you know, my place stinks. You know, that whole scene where the confrontation, that to me is, that was one of the great scenes of this whole series. And I think that scene probably got Burgess Meredith his Oscar nomination. And this scene feels like we need an extra beat with Mickey. You know, we need a moment for Burgess Meredith to make us remember how good he is as an actor, of course, but there, this relationship with Rocky of he's the one who's willing to undress him and call him out for his BS, and that Rocky is willing to call Mickey out. You know, that this is, it's not quite a father and son. It's really just sort of a cantankerous uncle and nephew kind of relationship.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, you see this scene and it doesn't have the wallop of the, you know, my place stinks scene from the first Rocky, although it kind of sits as the same, you know, it hits the same beat as that.
When Mickey raises his voice, which is really like the first time he has all movie.
Right, yeah.
You tell him to go back to the docks where you belong, go back to being a two-bit nothing. And the things he says are, they're good. You know, they cut deep. He says, yeah, don't you ever come back here again because I'm too old to waste my time trying to train a no-good loser like you. You bum. One more bum.
The first
for good
time
measure.
Mickey was up, when he says you're training like a damn bum, that's when Rocky like turns to him and gives him that like look,
mm-hmm,
that, yeah, like he, you know, that really hit home. And then he says a bum, mm-hmm, and then Mickey lays into him, and then Mickey brings up bum again in the end. And bum is like that word that Rocky, you know, he always said, hey, I didn't want to be just another bum from the streets.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
bum is that word that triggers something in him that, like, that's like the worst insult to him. It's like reminds me of Back to the Future when he called Marty McFly a chicken.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like, right, it's just, and he has that reaction. Like, bum is like, that's deep.
Well, yeah. I think it's the running theme of Rocky II, which is, you know, he had his one chance in a million. He didn't win, but he didn't get knocked down and everything. But now what happens? And he feels like he's devolving. You know, he couldn't even keep the job at the meat plant, you know, at the slaughterhouse or whatever the hell you want,
right,
to call that.
Yeah.
And that he feels himself regressing. And this is kind of a huge wake up call for Rocky, because you know, the fact that Mickey now looks at him as if the whole fight never happened. Now it's like the Apollo didn't even fight. It didn't amount to anything. He's still at the spot where, and look at where he is. He's at the locker where the whole confrontation originally began in Rocky, was over his locker. So if you remember, you know, what happened in Rocky, the fact that this is where this confrontation is happening, it's this notion of, wait a minute, am I going to be at the point where I'm back on my bag is hanging on the hanger again? I stood my own with the heavyweight champion of the world, and I'm back to being a bum in your eyes?
Right.
I'm not sure that Rocky cares at this point. Right now, I'm not sure Rocky cares. Because he's, like, Mickey's yelling at him. He really doesn't have any emotion on his face. He's doing about his business in his locker. He has that reaction when Mickey calls him a bum. But then when Mickey's yelling at him about going back to being a loser, Rocky really doesn't react. He's putting on his jacket. He's looking at him.
Well, that also just may be a point where he is, you know, he has to absorb it first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you remember when he was calling him a no-good knuckleburger in the first Rocky, mm-hmm. his reaction was just kind of looking at him, and he tried to retort by saying, it's a living.
Yeah, yeah.
And say, that's a waste of life.
Right.
Listen to me. This is how much I know the first one better than the second one.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting here going, every damn line for the movie for the first one I can recite from memory. So,
yeah, you're definitely not alone.
Well, anyway, so then, you know, and then the scene goes on.
Well, you said, just interject here. You said that maybe Rocky's just not processing that. He's absorbing it while Mickey's yelling at him. Before he's able to process it, but he doesn't even have a chance to because the other trainer Johnny comes running in to tell him that Adrian's sick.
Yeah, perfectly timed. Whenever I see a scene like this, I've done a tiny bit of acting in my life, I'm just thinking of the actor who plays Johnny, who is right around the corner there, who's like, okay, I got to run in. I got to run in. And the director is Stallone. So you're not going to have the director telling him, okay, go in. You know, so it's like, oh, please don't screw this up. Please don't screw it. And you know there's a take or two where he ran in too early. Like, oh, God damn it. Sorry, I'm sorry, Burgess Meredith and Sylvester Stallone. You know, this is Johnny's big moment in the movie. The actor who plays him, whose name escapes me at the moment. Oh, hell, I'll go on IMDb and find out. But, you know, it's his moment to have
Stuart Robinson? Stuart Robinson, I want to say.
Not Stu Nathan. He's the announcer. Well, is Johnny his name? All right, you know what? I'll find it out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the great Frank McRae, by the way, who is in the meat. Who's one of the great that guys, the late great Frank McRae, who's been in Stuart Robinson is his name. So,
yeah, yeah.
Robinson. But yeah, the great Frank McRae is the guy who had to let Rocky go in that scene in the butcher place. And he is such a great that guy. I mean, he's one of these guys. You just, anytime you see him in a movie, like, oh, and he's passed on since. But, oh, it's that guy.
I thought he was still alive.
We talked about him during that scene, and we found that he was the other security guard in Vacation before John Candy gets taken hostage. He's the guy that lays down on the ground.
He's like treating me like a dog, Mr. Wally.
I believe he's in Red Dawn. I think he's the high school teacher who gets killed right at the beginning.
Oh, I don't know.
Remember when they're parachuting in and he comes out and says, what is that? And he goes out and says, can I help you? There's a bunch of Russians up there.
Is that him?
I believe it.
I know he did a few projects with Stallone.
Yeah. And he's also in 1941. He's in the Runaway Tank with John Candy in 1941.
Hmm. Cool.
Look at this. This is turning into the Frank McRae appreciation podcast, minute by minute. He's not even in this damn minute. But there's Stuart Robinson did a good job in the whole, you know, come running in like, hey, Adrian's.
And he's also slapping the shit out of Rocky when he's training, too.
Yeah.
Not yet.
May I?
Before you do that, though, You know what bothers me is Mickey is asking Rocky what's wrong. You know, what, you know, he keeps asking what's wrong, what's the matter with you. But the thing is, like, Mickey, does he not know? Is, like, Mickey this naive or this oblivious to the situation that he doesn't know what Rocky's problem is? Like, I think we watched the movie, so we know what Rocky's problem is. But Mickey was there for the stairs scene when Mickey came in and said, let's go knock his block off. What is it, right? Knock his block off.
Yeah.
And Adrian was at the stairs, and Rocky looked back. Like, Mickey was there for that. Mm-hmm. But I would think that if you're somebody's trainer, like a trainer, a coach, a teacher, mentor, whatever, you're supposed to be able to read a person and understand them and get to know them. And I would be shocked to think that Mickey doesn't know what the problem is. Like, he doesn't mention it. He doesn't say, is it your wife doesn't want you to fight? Like, he just keeps, like, does he not know? Or I know he doesn't have a wife, so is it not triggering with him that maybe this is what's bothering him, or he doesn't care?
I can't imagine that he has any experience in relationships.
It's just getting, you've kind of organically got to one of the problems I have with Rocky too.
Oh, right. I like problems. Well,
look at that.
I hinted at one of the problems, which was that you had the pet shop, but it was just tidied up a little too much for my taste. Mm-hmm. You also have a couple of things that happen emotionally in Rocky II. This scene, which, as you said, what do you mean, what's the matter? You know what's the matter.
Right.
And the fact that the pregnancy goes wrong just at the moment when Rocky needs to have something like this. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of emotional button pushing moments in Rocky II that seem more like, well, we need something to happen now, and don't feel as natural as they unfolded in the first Rocky, like the Thanksgiving scene or the ice skating scene or the scene where Paulie goes ape shit and starts, you know, smashing up with a baseball bat, or Rocky alone in the ring where he notices the poster is screwed up. You know, those are all scenes that hit these emotional moments that help move the story along, but they seem like they seem natural. They seem like they really just flowed organically from the story. There are moments, and it could be the fact that this is Stallone's first film that he directed. I think that's true. He didn't direct Paradise Alley, did he?
He did, yeah.
Oh, he did. Okay. Yeah. Well, he was still, but you know, Avildsen was a much more experienced director at that point. He was, you know, especially after Save the Tiger, which he had done, which is a really fun film. Maybe there's just a little bit, just seems a little ham-fisted, and a little like forced, like, you know, like I'm having this dramatic moment with Mickey that, like, all right, I mean, Burgess Meredith is fine, but it's, why are you asking what's wrong?
Right. Right, exactly.
You know well. And just at the moment when he needs this, in comes, oh, Adrian needs help. Oh, we'll run out to get, you know, that scene's over. We go to the next scene, which, and that'll lead into the next minute. And it just feels like, it feels a little forced.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first half of this film, where Rocky's dealing with, okay, I had my shot, now I'm back being a regular guy again, is really interesting and also kind of self-reflexive. It's a little bit of like, it's very autobiographical of Stallone. Like, right. Was Rocky my only shot? You know, and there's something about this scene, and I'll get into the next minute, and probably the next minute I'll get into philosophically some more detail of what I think, that feels a little, I hate to say by the numbers, but it seems a little like, well, this is, we need a Mickey scene now. Oh, we need a dramatics. And it just seems less about the story flowing naturally and more about what the story needs to happen. And that's something that is, it rings a little false for me. And so, I mean, I hate to say, I know I'm not supposed to criticize
a
Rocky film on the Rocky minute by minute podcast here, but it's funny that I'm sitting there, when you sent me the minutes, I'm thinking, oh, please have it be the fight, please have it be the fight, because I love the fight at the end of Rocky, you know. But yeah, there's something about it was like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, and it's funny how you hit on it about, like, you know, why doesn't Mickey know? Well, because this isn't Rocky. So,
I have I've been referencing the novelization of Rocky II, you know, because there's certain things in the book that aren't in the movie
for a reason.
Yeah, well, because in the movie, right after this locker room scene, Rocky runs out, and then the next shot is them in the hospital.
Right.
But in the book here, we have what happens between him running out and the hospital.
So he gets a cab.
I'm not gonna.
How dramatic could it be?
Well, I'm not gonna. I've been reading in Rocky's in a Rocky accent, which is awful, and I'm abandoning that because it's just, you know, just want to get to the brass tacks of what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. So he says, for a second, I froze in the doorway because I couldn't understand what was happening. I mean, when you walk into a place 1,000 times before and you see it one way, like with Adrian standing behind the cash register or cleaning the birdcage or something like that. But now I walk in and it was a whole different picture. There was my wife laying on the floor with her brother cradling her head in his lap. I felt sick. I dropped down, kissed her, and stroked her hair. What happened? I said to Paulie. Nothing. We was just talking loud and she dropped down. I don't know what happened.
Talking loud.
Yeah.
You're yelling at her, Bali. Yelling at her. Talking loud.
Adrian, how bad is it? I said to her. But I didn't hear nothing coming back. She moved.
Wait. Mm-hmm. The novelization's told in first person?
Yeah.
Oh, I may have to read it. I may have to read it.
It's interesting for sure.
I wish it was told from first person from Gloria, though.
He says she moved her head a little like she was trying to talk, but she didn't have the strength to say anything. And now I was getting scared. And he just says the ambulance is on its way.
I had no idea it was in first person. I really may have to go on to Amazon and find it. Hopefully there's a Kindle version.
Yeah, I got this.
Or a Stallone reading it version.
I assume that he went right to the hospital. I didn't know. For some reason, I don't think that he went to the pet shop.
Right.
Well, isn't the pet shop like right across the street from the gym?
Yeah.
So probably Paulie went apeshit, and then he told the parrot, you know, get Rocky, and then had the parrot fly across the street, and that's how
he tied a message to its little leg.
No, the parrot just went, "Rah! Adrian needs help."
And Johnny Speaks parrot, so
absolutely. That would have been the most amazing scene if the parrot fly across the street in Philadelphia.
That's the Disney version of Rocky.
Oh God! Yeah, that'd be it.
All right. If that is all you have for this minute, why don't you tell our fans about Sully Baseball or what else you got going on?
We're doing a hiatus right now in the off season, but I'm doing some stuff to bring the podcast back. So the best thing to do is just to subscribe to Sully Baseball on Twitter at Sully Baseball. And I'm going to be making all sorts of announcements pretty soon of some of the format changes and the places you can subscribe.
Cool. And Sully Baseball on Twitter is where they can get all that information.
Yeah, at Sully Baseball, all one word. Yep.
All right. And there's no E in Sully.
No E. No, exactly. No E.
So us you can find on we're at Rocky Minute on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Are we on Twitter?
Yeah, we are.
You guys are. That's how you communicated with me.
Could also join our Facebook listeners group, Mighty Mix, or you can email us, rockyminute@gmail.com. Or where do you get our show? Dueling Genre. Head over to duelinggenre.com and you can download all of our episodes, past episodes, and catch our future episodes. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
What are we waiting for? Take this!
It was so fun. Actually, he just blew my mind. Oh, Mickey.
Keep going, please.
No. Oh, Mickey, what a pity. You just don't understand. You take me by the heart. When do you take me by the hand? Oh, Mickey, you're so pretty. It's guys like you, Mickey. What'd you do, Mickey? You broke my heart, Mickey. That's my dramatic reading of Tony Basil's Mickey.
It was
beautiful.
I'm going
to do that in my next audition. So.